Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
All right, this situation in Broncos country is just, it's flat out fascinating. And it's part maddening, to be honest with you. So we just talked about the idea of like a plan, a plan at the position. If you found yourself in a situation like the Broncos did yesterday, do you have a plan for that?
Right, because, Zach, you know, you heard, I think, Bruce Arians talking about the possibility of stashing a quarterback. Josh McCown was stashed by the Eagles for a while. I don't know if he still is. He was living in Texas. And
that's
part
right.
of their practice squad. And he was getting tested daily. So if they had an outbreak or something happened, boom, they could just go with him. So it was talked about a lot, like a plan, especially at the quarterback position. If you had an outbreak, that you would have someone to go to and you wouldn't be stuck like the Denver Broncos were yesterday.
Yeah, no, this is not a new conversation, unfortunately.
Nope.
This is a conversation that we were having in the preseason.
Yep.
Like literally. Let's fast forward to even last week or the week before. We saw entire rooms not be able to enter the facility. Like the entire offensive line of, I forget who it was.
The Raiders.
Oh, it was the Raiders. Like the entire O-line has to quarantine. So like the idea that this couldn't happen wasn't true. In fact, we have the audio. Going back to the preseason, I thought it was D-Mac that asked the question. In fact, it was Arnie Stapleton of the Associated Press asked Vic Fangio about potentially having a quarantine quarterback, and this is what the exchange was like.
So what do you think of the notion of a quarantine quarterback? Some people are thinking to have a quarterback that's away from the room, just learning the playbook, just on the what if.
I don't think it's necessary. Be honest with you, but and plus it has to be with the right guy, somebody that has experience in your system that, you know, if the emergency happens, you have them there. But, you know, I don't think our quarterbacks have been meeting together all camp. You know, they're socially distanced like they should be. I think most teams are doing that, and there hadn't been an issue so far, knock on wood.
Okay, so
our quarterbacks are socially distanced. Not so fast, my friend.
Right,
not so fast.
That was in the preseason.
Wow.
All right, that hold
preseason.
On a second. That was in the preseason.
Okay.
So this has been a conversation since before the season started. The Broncos don't have just one quarterback on their roster. They don't have just two. They don't have three. There's four of these guys. Mm-hmm. Now Bortles isn't technically on the roster. He's on the practice squad, if I'm not mistaken, which I believe makes it more easy to keep him apart.
Yes.
That guy's played almost 100 NFL
right.
football games. So when Vic says it's got to be the right guy with experience, and I know it hasn't been under Pat Shurmur, but Blake Bortles has more experience than any quarterback on this team, and that's the guy that's on the practice squad. So he's actually the perfect candidate to be set apart from the team. You don't need four quarterbacks going to the facility.
No. Yeah, put one of them at the hotel. Hey, brother, you're going to get paid, you know, $500,000, $1 million. You're going to be staying at the hotel, buddy. Okay, you're going to do virtual meetings, and that's just the way this thing's going to go for you. Do you accept or not? And you know what? That guy would have played last week. So, of course they would accept it. But, I mean, that's how you should go about when you have four quarterbacks. You don't have two. You don't have three. You have four. One of them's on the practice squad. Send Blake Bortles to the hotel and quarantine him and do virtual meetings with him, and then you wouldn't have ran into this situation. So the Broncos obviously dropped the ball in a big, big way. You can want to blame the NFL for screwing the Denver Broncos and this and that, and, you know, this should have happened, that should have happened. But in the end, the Broncos didn't have a plan for an emergency situation like this, and they got hosed.
Yeah, and so you're right. They did not have the plan. But when we heard Fangio just answer that question from the preseason, I want to show Vic a little bit of grace, because this was as the NFL season was, like, they were trying to figure it out, all right? Yesterday, the Broncos went through something that had never happened in the history of the National Football League. They were the team that went through it. He's the head coach of the team that went through it. So now that it's behind us, an hour ago, Vic Fangio was asked the same question. This is post the Saints Broncos game. This is from this afternoon. He's asked, would you consider keeping Blake Bortles away from the team?
When the quarterbacks are allowed back in the building, have you guys talked about doing a isolation for Bortles being the practice squatter?
We haven't yet. As you know, we're all working remotely today, but that's something that we will discuss. But, you know, I think if we just follow the protocols, we'll be fine.
Are you kidding me?
So,
well, look, I mean,
he says they'll discuss it.
Right.
But if
I mean, that should have been discussed already. Right. I mean, that's what, like, you went through all this stuff. I mean, that thing should have been discussed already. And, you know, I guess they look at it and they're probably just like, you know, we can't get struck by lightning twice here.
That's such a bad plan.
No, I know. But why else would you not do it when you just got burnt and you look really silly?
Right.
Are you going to go down this road again? Now, I can guarantee you, which I will guarantee you, that the quarterbacks won't be, you know, lackadaisical with their protocols and their mask and their distancing or whatever they're supposed to be doing. I don't know at all what they're supposed to be doing, but I guarantee you they'll be on it and there won't be any, they won't drop their guard when it comes to those things. But what happens if they just get it?
And that's what
right?
I was just
and then all
say.
Of a sudden, you know, three of them get it. Now, what happens?
Right.
You know, in this situation, it was just one guy that got it. And oh, by the way, Jeff Driscoll, you're the backup quarterback, right? You're getting paid a couple million bucks this year. You got a chance to play. You weren't very good. You're just the backup, right? So your job now is to help Drew Locke and don't screw up anything. And thanks a lot. You screwed everything up. So how about that? I mean, seriously, knew that signing was bad when they signed him.
Well,
knew it was bad when they signed him, Zach, right?
Yes.
Didn't I?
No,
told
no,
you.
No, we both didn't like it. But I also at the same time don't want to like blame Driscoll for getting COVID.
Well, yeah, I'm not blaming him for getting COVID, but I'm blaming him for making those other quarterbacks not play. Okay? How about that?
Well,
I think that's fair. Look, bad deal. But
the smart thing here moving forward is to keep one of these quarterbacks isolated.
Yes.
And you're going to
see. That's a no-brainer now. I mean, what else is Blake Bortles doing?
Right.
He knows the playbook by now.
You are going to see teams around the league that
they might do virtual anyway. Excuse me for cutting you off there, but they might do virtual anyway.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, very possibly. But I think you're going to see teams around the league react if they didn't have a quarterback stash, like some did. Josh McCown, you mentioned that. The Buffalo Bills have been keeping Jake Fromm, a quarterback out of Georgia, rookie, away from the rest of the quarterbacks in case this happened. But to the teams that aren't doing that, I think you're going to see teams look at the Broncos situation and react to it. And if they weren't doing it, they now will do it. And they're learning from the Broncos' mistake. And I'm just hoping that the Broncos learn from the Broncos' mistake.
Right.
The value of having a fourth quarterback in the facility is vastly trumped by the value of needing that guy, should you. So,
yes. Especially now because most of these guys have been around,
right?
And they already know the playbook and stuff. It's not, you got 6 weeks left to go in the season, five games, whatever it may be, 5 weeks. And I mean, look, it's a no-brainer now. And I think you'll see, Zach, and that's a good point. I think you'll see, especially teams that are on the bubble of making the playoffs and not making the playoffs.
Point, yeah.
I mean, this could change the outcome of their season, whether they have a guy ready to go or they have to play a Kendall Hinton. So it's a big, big deal, you know, if you're the Ravens who are right on the bubble now and you see what they're going through. If you're the, I don't know, name a team, the Bears are kind of right there too. So you got teams that are right on the bubble, possibly making the playoffs, not making the playoffs. And those teams, could you imagine if you lose out by one game and you had to play a backup wide receiver that's never taken a snap or wasn't even on your opening day roster? And,
it's unbelievable.
And that cost you a playoff spot. So
yeah.
I think you're right, Zach. Teams will have to take notice. And if the Broncos don't, I mean, they can say, hey, if we had the protocols in place, if the quarterbacks would have followed the protocols, we would have been fine because, yeah, they would have been fine. Right? They would have been fine, but sometimes you don't leave it in young men's hands to determine the outcome of your organization, a billion-dollar organization, correct?
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure.
And that's what happened here. And the Broncos end up looking really silly and really foolish and are kind of the laughing stock of the NFL because of what they had to roll out there on an NFL game on a Sunday afternoon on primetime TV right there where, well, I guess not everywhere, but certainly around here. And we have to sit there and watch that product because they just dropped the ball, and they look really silly, and a lot of people are laughing at the Denver Broncos because of the situation they put themselves in.
Welcome to Bronco land.
And I'll say this here in closing to this specific conversation. I want to like Vic Fangio. If Vic is successful, that creates continuity. I think that's good for the organization. I am tired of the product that the Broncos have put on the field. But that said, when Vic does stuff like this, when you go through what this fan base and this organization went through yesterday, and he's asked about it, you know, to say, you know, if we follow the protocols, knock on wood, like knock on wood, no knocking on wood. Just get a better plan, you know, yeah. and learn from the mistakes that were made.
Yeah, that wasn't real wood he was knocking on.
No.
That was a synthetic stuff.
That faux. Apparently. It's that faux wood.
Yeah. It's right. Real wood.
Yeah. All right. The game itself. That's something that we haven't talked about yet. A Monday staple, Stokely's pros and cons, coming up next. On the RamosLaw.com text line. Put your name on it. Give you a shout out. The 883 number says, pro, Kendall Hilton didn't get killed. Con, everything else.
That's good.
Where do you want to start, pros or cons here?
Well, you know, I just broke it down to 3 and 3 here, Zach. So okay. I got three pros, three of my main pros, three of my main cons here. So you tell me how you want to start this thing. Might be able to make it through all of them.
Let's start with pros because I feel like I need to come up for air here.
Okay. And I had to dig deep, you know. The bar was low here for the pros from the game. But how about DeMarcus Walker sack on the first third down for the Saints? And then on their second third down, Bradley Chubb got a sack. So nice job early on. This defense really was playing well early in the football game. But nice job DeMarcus Walker getting a sack there on the first third down. And then the second third down on their second possession, there was Bradley Chubb with a sack. So good start by those guys.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, man, I am – becoming more and more impressed with DeMarcus Walker. Now, he may never fulfill the expectation that we thought that he could be coming out of Florida State, second round pick, the top 51 pick.
Get that merch while it's hot. I'm just saying, get it's probably 50% off, Zach. You said you were going to buy one.
I know. But DeMarcus Walker, he made two plays in that game that, you know, if it was closer, I think it'd be, draw more attention.
He did. Right, strip the
it
guy.
It was a strip sack. So he actually finishes on the stat sheet with two sacks. Even though one of them, he didn't, you know, bring Taysom Hill down, but he got the ball out of his hands, which is huge. And he had a half sack the week before against Miami. He had a sack against the Atlanta Falcons. So statistically, not lighting the world on fire, but, I just chalk this guy up as a bust, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, Zach, you're spot on. He's having a sneaky, under-the-radar, solid season. And this is a guy that I didn't know if he'd make the football team.
Out of training camp.
Yeah. I mean, he has been underwhelming to say the least, but he's having a good year. Got hurt for a little bit, and he's just making some plays. So you can tell he's got energy out there. He's always, you know, whether, you know, he barely gets by the guy or whatever. I mean, he's always dancing and he brings energy and passion. So, good game by him. Two sacks. I mean, nice job by him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
AJ Boye with the pass deflection. They got intercepted by Bassey. That was a really nice play by him.
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, we haven't seen enough of those plays from A.J. Boye this year. We heard Vic Fangio say, like, hey, we want to see the real A.J. You know, he's been so banged up and in and out of the lineup. But, that was a big play. And I'll say this, man, if he doesn't get his hand on that football and Esang Bassey doesn't pick it and return it, I think it was like 25 yards or so, Brandon McManus doesn't kick that 58-yard field goal. Do you realize that the Denver Broncos have never been shut out at home?
Oh, wow.
465 football games in the history of this organization. They've never been shut out at home. That could have happened yesterday if it were not for A.J. Boye getting his hand in there, Bassey returning it, and Brandon McManus kicking a career-long 58-yard field goal.
How about that? Good nugget there, and big kick by Brandon McManus. We had to do our Thanksgiving videos, you know, and I had the Broncos for 104.3thefan.com, I think it is. I was thankful for McManus. And that's who I said I was thankful for, and he went out there and delivered the only points of the game, 58-yarder. So great job by him again.
And that was, and maybe we can talk about this more later, but that was the same distance that Tom McMahon talked Vic Fangio out of the field goal field. You can't
indoors.
Make this up.
Indoors
in Atlanta. You can't make it up.
I love the fact that you brought that up. That was so good.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. I mean, just the never-ending, just shake my head situations with the Denver Broncos here lately.
Oh, my gosh. All right, you got another pro for us?
Yeah, my last one here, 2nd and 13. The first and only pass completion to Noah Fant for a first down. Yes, baby. A nice design of a play. Good job. Easy throw. Nice job getting some yards there and getting a first down. So those are my three pros. Not a lot of pros. I mean, the defense really did good early on.
Yeah, they did.
They had momentum going. And I got my cons, some of the things that really cost them in a big way. But early on, they were doing some good things. And I look, Taysom Hill's not an NFL quarterback. I'm telling you that right now. He's not an NFL quarterback. This guy can't throw the football.
That's what the story would have been. That's what the story would have been if they were playing another team yesterday.
Right.
And Sean Payton's rolling. This guy, you can't. Sean Payton's forgot more football than I'll ever know. But you, like, I got to tie half my brain behind my back to think that offense gives you a better chance to win than Jameis Winston.
Right. I don't get it. There's a role for Taysom Hill, and he's great at his role.
Yes.
But starting quarterback is not his role.
No.
And it gets a good defense. Now, he carved the Falcons. He had a really good game against the Falcons. But you saw him yesterday. And this guy is just not a consistent enough passer. And when you play a good defense, and the Broncos are playing well, there was no throwing lanes for him. There's nowhere for him to escape. And he looked lost. He looked lost. So, it's going to be interesting to see how that thing unfolds there with him moving forward and when Drew Brees get back.
Yeah.
I got some cons here. Do we wait?
Yeah. Let's wait.
Okay, but overall though, the defense, especially to start the game, just played really, really well. And unfortunately for them, the Broncos could, obviously with their offense just never could get any momentum or get anything going to help them out at all, and then it just unraveled.
Yeah, it really did. And no, you're right. At the start of that game, they were playing with such energy. It was really encouraging. I looked at the early couple minutes like, hey, this is going to be a galvanizing game where these guys got their back against the wall and they are just going to go out and give their highest level of competitive spirit that they have in the tank. And I thought you saw that.
The highest level of competitive spirit that they have in the tank. Man, that was deep.
Well, you're going to take away the most important position?
Yeah.
Screw you guys. You guys going to make us play today against the Saints? Screw you guys. We're going to go out there and lay it all on the line. And that's what you saw early in the game. But unfortunately, like once you got into the second quarter, midway through the second quarter, and especially late in the second quarter, I'm sure you're going to hit it in your cons. You get into the third quarter, it was like, a war of attrition. They just were play
body
after
blow,
play.
Body blow,
that's
body
right.
Blow,
44
blow.
Carries on the ground for the
and
Saints
it was
yesterday.
The Nate Robinson finish.
The Nate Robinson finish. Which,
Paul? Who's that guy? What's his name?
Yeah, remember we talked about this couple.
Yeah, we had Nate Robinson
We
on.
Had Nate Robinson on.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the fight and this YouTuber, Jake Paul, and you and I were like, man, good luck to Jake Paul because Nate Robinson's a dog. He's a, former, NBA athlete and, played cornerback at Washington. You're dealing with a thoroughbred here.
How'd that work out?
It didn't. He hit that canvas.
It looked like he was dead. He was asleep before he was halfway down. I mean, he was just like, wham.
Oh, man.
But he said he's doing good. I saw he said he was doing good.
Yeah. And you got Snoop Dogg on the call.
I missed that.
Oh, my gosh, dude. You got to go back and watch Nate Robinson get knocked out and listen to Snoop Dogg's response. And Steven said he'll grab the audio. He goes full.
No, I did hear that. That was great. I heard that.
Oh, my God.
It didn't sound like Snoop, though.
No, it didn't sound,
when he started singing and he just didn't sound like him, but he got rave reviews.
Yeah, he did. He did, and he's a fun personality. All right, we take a look at the cons. It wasn't fun to watch yesterday. And the lowest points of the game. Let's all get submerged in the pain. The lowest points are coming up next. All right, we take a dive into the low points. And boy, this is just one big low point. Like,
who's shredding it here?
This is
Ozzy.
This is Judas Priest, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure this is dialed up in your playlist there.
Yeah, yours too. That's how you knew it, huh?
This is,
if I'm not mistaken. Come on.
This is a serious low point for this. This is like Mariana Trench.
Slasher.
Yeah, there you go. Slasher. Right. I think the Mariana Trench is like the lowest point in like the world. Even.
The who? The who trench?
The Mariana Trench. It's like in the Pacific Ocean. I think it's like just this massive, like, low point in, Challenger Deep. You ever hear that phrase, the Challenger Deep? Anyway, it's a slot in the ocean. It's like the lowest point. Is this the lowest point since the Super Bowl 50?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so. It was embarrassing yesterday. It was embarrassing. I mean, 31-3, you completed one pass. You had no chance to win that football game. I don't know how it gets lower than that. I'm trying to think. And there's been some bad ones. You know, you think about the Jets rushing for, 1,000 yards in that game, and you think about the next week against the Rams, and you think about the Eagles. And I mean, there's been some nightmares. But this one, I think, takes the cake.
Yeah, it was.
How about you? I mean, do you think
Yes, I think this moment, yesterday, the game, and the moment of this massive story and the way that it all went down, I do. I think.
Right, because the spotlight was on the Broncos. You know, they were the ones that it's all over the place. That's everybody was talking about the Broncos situation playing without a quarterback.
Yep.
You know, when they got beat, drummed by those other two teams, it was just a little blimp in the radar. It's just like, boom, gone.
Yep.
Boom. It wasn't national news. This was national news yesterday, and it was embarrassing. You ready? Let's go.
Yeah, let's go, Cons.
Look, 4th-and-1. Saints look like they're going to go for it, right? What drive was this? Their fourth of the game.
Yeah.
But I think actually they were going to end up punting the football. I think it was all a ploy.
They were at the
35-yard line. And Sean Payton was playing really conservative.
Right.
They knew if they punted the football, like, they were going to probably get a stop and they were going to get the ball back. They didn't do anything crazy. They weren't throwing the ball a lot. They were just content on just, slowly getting a lead and knowing that they weren't going to lose it. I don't think they were going to give the Broncos a chance to get the ball in that situation. I think it was a ploy that they were just going to hut.
Yep.
And then call a timeout or take the delay game and punt the football. And then Draymond Jones just jumps off sides. And 10 plays later, it's touchdown Saints 7-0.
Yep.
You just can't have it happen in this type of football game, right? I mean, it's never good. And you know that they're going to do these things as a defensive lineman. You know that they're going to try to do get you to jump off sides. And in this type of football game, you just can't make those types of mistakes. You got to play clean football and then have some things happen for you to have a chance to beat the Saints. And that type of play, that was a bad one, man. Just can't have it happen.
And I agree 1,000%. I do not believe for a second that Sean Payton was going for on 4th-and-1 from his own 35. No way. That wasn't the construct of the game.
Yeah.
Like that would have flown in the face of everything else that happened in that game from a Saints aggressiveness standpoint. So I agree with you. And like you said, it led to a touchdown.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Number two. This game is still 7-0 right now. We got a 3rd-and-1. We got the Wildcat. It had been working pretty good. Phillip Lindsay went bam, bam. We get to a 3rd-and-1 situation, and Cushenberry has a bad snap. Lindsay can't fall on it, and Saints scoop it up. Great hustle by Bolsey there. But
saving a touchdown, but it didn't matter because five plays later, touchdown Saints, and, you know, it's 14-0. And I do believe that if the Broncos, you know, got that ball snapped like they wanted to, it would have been, they would have got the first down. You know, it's third and one there. They would have got the first down. And it's probably just 7-0 going into halftime at that situation. So you think about that mistake and what it led to. But you only had a little bit over 2 minutes left. There's like 2:22 when they hiked the ball.
Right.
So if they get the first down there, Zach, it goes down to 2 minute warning. Saints are up 7-0. They're not worried about anything. And the Broncos are going to be able to run the clock out if they want. And if not, they're going to punt the Saints deep. I believe that they go into halftime 7-0, but a low snap. Lindsey can't field it. Next thing you know, it's 14-0 and instead of 7-0, going into halftime. And it's not even halftime yet. And they still screwed it up even more. And this is the third and last one here, Zach. Minute three left before half. And you run the ball on the first play. Okay, that's fine. Let's just tap out here, right? Let's just tap out, run the ball on the first play, and Saints don't call a timeout. Nobody calls a timeout. We're good here. We're backed up. We haven't been able to throw the football. This poor quarterback that we got, he can't throw. Okay, so let's not put him in a situation to throw the football right here and have something bad happen. Well, guess what? That's what Pat Shurmur does.
I couldn't believe that.
He just totally screwed the thing up, and we try to throw the football with 12 seconds left.
12 seconds left. From
let's
your
throw
own,
one, Zach.
From your
let's
own
throw.
27.
Yeah, we might hit a home run, right? Just like I might win, you know, the Powerball tomorrow or tonight, right? I mean, the odds of us hitting a home run shot in that play are less than me winning the Powerball,
dude.
Okay? But we dialed it up anyway after running the ball on the first play,
right,
and pretty much saying we give up, but no, we decide not to give up, and we decide to take a chance with 12 seconds left. What good's going to happen? Nothing, of course. Interception. Why, Pat Shurmur? Now it's 17-0 going into half when it should have been 7-0. One on the center for a bad snap. The other one on play calling, putting your quarterback in just a bad situation to throw up a, I don't know what that thing was he threw, but it just you can't put your quarterback in that situation if you're Pat Shurmur. Just going to halftime down 14-0, and you cost him three more points. Just once again, the 2 minute into half stuff that he does sometimes when he runs the football when he shouldn't, and now he throws the football when he shouldn't. It drives me nuts,
dude. The game was, and you just said this, but I just want to simplify it.
Okay,
the game was 7-0. With 2 minutes and 20 seconds remaining, the Broncos have the ball. 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
Third and one.
And it turns out to be 17-0
yep.
at half.
Yep.
You cannot make that up.
Third and one. They had a third and one, too.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. If you didn't hear it, this is Snoop Dogg on a color commentary on Saturday night as former NBA athlete Nate Robinson gets knocked out by YouTuber Jake Paul.
Oh, Nate. Oh, he got up.
Lead me on. Let me stand.
Funny about what's happening with Nate Robinson, but Snoop Dogg is singing the hymns. He's trying to get
his
ring.
Oh,
Lord! Mama Mia, the problem child!
Oh, Lord!
Oh, my God.
You gotta love Snoop Dogg.
You can't make that up. You can't make it up. All right. Yesterday, newsflash was a disaster. But is there the biggest loser from yesterday? Is it Drew Lock? And are the comments from ESPN's Dan Orlovsky fair? Some scathing audio we'll play for you and react to next. Yesterday was just unfortunate all around. But was the biggest loser from yesterday, and obviously I mean loser as in lost opportunity, not, you know, calling a name, was the biggest loser yesterday Drew Lock? After a week ago, Brandon Stokely, it was a step in the right direction against a red-hot Dolphins team. Now, it wasn't perfect. It was far from it, but it was a step in the right direction. The missed opportunity against one of the best defenses in the National Football League in New Orleans.
Yeah, it'd be a huge, huge missed opportunity. Look, he's already behind the eight ball, right? I mean, he's got to fight out of the hole that he dug himself because he played bad football. And, you know, he doesn't have many opportunities left to say, John, I should be the guy heading into next year. and he lost one of those opportunities. So, you know, one less opportunity for him to show that he should be the guy moving forward. So, yes, a big, big missed opportunity for Drew Lock because he doesn't have many left. And he's already, like I said, he's already behind the eight ball here. He's already trying to dig himself out of the hole that he dug himself because of how bad he played early on and inconsistent he played early on. And plus, he's already missed games. And you just throw this on top of things. And you know what? Hey, you got, what do we got, five games
five
left? You
games
got five
left.
Opportunities left to prove and to kind of change the narrative around you for 2020. That's all you got, buddy. That's it. And you're going to have to go out there and do some things that we've never seen you do.
Yeah.
In order to say, I should be the guy. And if you don't do those things, then you're not going to be the guy.
And unfortunately, yes, definitely. Well said. Unfortunately, the opportunities, they're not all created equal. Now, they're all important. But if you go out there and play well against a New Orleans Saints team, that is going to resonate differently than playing well against the Chargers or the Panthers because they are one of the best defenses in the sport. And so if Drew Lock was available and you go out and hang 27 on that defense and maybe even lose 31-27 or maybe they win. You know, I was not blown away by New Orleans yesterday. I really wasn't. I think they're a rock solid group. I think they have an awesome roster, but I wasn't like, you know, quivering in fear. I thought if the Broncos got competent quarterback play, they would have been in that football game. Do you agree with that?
Yes, certainly agree with that. I mean, Taysom Hill can't throw the football. Okay? I mean, he can't throw it consistently. He's not an NFL starting quarterback.
He was 9-for-16 for 78 yards.
Right, exactly. And now, look, some of that has to do with their game plan, I'm sure, going into the game. But you saw him in the pocket. He can't operate in the pocket. He's good at what he does. So, yes, I agree with what you said, Zach.
I don't believe that Taysom Hill has thrown a touchdown pass in the National Football League.
He hasn't.
Zero. I just pulled it up right now.
Yeah.
Zero touchdown passes. So, and it was interesting. I read this morning.
He had thrown one to Manuel last week, and it got called back.
That's right.
It got called
That's
back.
Right.
I had that booster, and Taysom throw and run for a touchdown, and I was celebrating. Had that thing boosted up. I was celebrating that odds boost. And next thing you know, the penalty dropped. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
He was so frustrated too, Emmanuel, because I remember.
I didn't know he was playing. Yeah, I yelled at my son. I'm like, is Emmanuel playing? And I saw him make a catch, and he went right to the sideline.
Yep.
I mean, how many plays did he actually play, though?
I don't know.
Was he out there consistently a lot?
I don't remember him being out there. Now, I haven't rewatched the game yet, but he had one.
Well, don't do that to yourself. You know, there's no need to rewatch that thing.
He had one reception for 4 yards. So that was
I know that, and I know the catch. And then right after the catch, he went on the sideline. They were kind of giving him a high five. You could tell like that meant something to him to get that catch against the Broncos back here in Denver. That was a cool moment for him. It was a 4-yard catch, like you said, but still. He went right to the sideline. It wasn't like he was still on the field. So I don't know if he played a lot that game at all because just never saw him out there.
Yeah, and they went a lot of heavy, you know.
Right.
So, you know, he just didn't have the opportunities. But, you know, if you're a skill position for a player for either of those teams yesterday, you're pretty frustrated. Like, if you're Emmanuel Sanders, if you're Noah Fant, I mean, on both sides, there was a concerted effort to play 1952 football.
Yeah, that's just the way it went, you know, just the way it goes sometimes. But you're right. Certainly, if you're the Saints guys, you get frustrated in those moments because they're used to really airing it out here. You know, I mean, these guys are kind of used to not having big games and not having a lot of opportunities here lately.
Well, it's got to be maddening because you've got a quarterback that can play that style of ball. He's healthy sitting there on the sidelines. He's just not playing.
For the Saints.
Yeah.
Yes, for the Saints. I would love to be, you know, behind closed doors in those meeting rooms with those receivers right now.
Right.
I can tell you they're like, man, put in Jameis. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Taysom thing's cool and it's cute. And, you know, he played pretty good against the Falcons. But you can tell he can't throw the deep ball. He hasn't thrown one touchdown pass. Look, Jameis can do everything. He would be 2-0 also, but he can throw the football, and he gives you more explosiveness from that position, and you can still use Taysom doing what he does really well. I don't understand it.
A crazy fact here is that Kendall Hinton has thrown a touchdown pass more recently than Taysom Hill. And you got to go back to college, but Kendall Hinton threw a touchdown at Wake Forest more recently than Taysom Hill threw a touchdown at BYU. How crazy is that? And that was years ago. I mean, years ago now. Taysom Hill's been in the league for, three, 4 years. But yeah, it is what it is. The comments from Dan Orlovsky.
Yep.
Pretty powerful this morning on Get Up to Mike Greenberg. This is the former quarterback Dan Orlovsky on Drew Lock.
Well, nothing's more expensive than a missed opportunity. And that's what this was for the backup quarterbacks and really the starter for the Denver Broncos. As a young player, as a young backup quarterback in the NFL, I used to pray to God for just a chance to get on the field. Because sometimes your opportunity is just luck, that it just happens that you get a chance to start in the NFL. And so many guys never get that chance, and they have a year or two career, and then they're gone. So guys like Brett Rypien and Blake Bortles, who's trying to get back into the NFL, and Drew Lock, for you guys not to do the simple thing of wearing your mask is a shame on you. You can't sit there and go, man, I wish I would have gotten my chance. You had your chance, and you blew it because you couldn't do something as simple as having self-discipline to follow the protocol that's handed down from the NFL. You can't go home and tell your buddies or tell your girlfriend or tell your wife, I never got my opportunity. Yeah, you did. You blew it because you couldn't wear a mask. And Drew Lock, this is the most concerning thing I've ever seen from you since you've come into the NFL. How can I trust you to be the CEO of the billion-dollar company that I run and you can't wear a mask? I don't care if you don't want to. I don't care if you don't like it, and I don't care if you agree with it. You have to do what you have to do what you want to do. And this is a missed opportunity by all the quarterbacks for the Denver Broncos. You let down your team. You let down yourself. Shame. Shame on you.
Wow. I mean, that is coming a thousand miles.
You have to do what you have to do
in order to do what you want to do.
That's deep.
I actually love that quote.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Look, I agree with pretty much 99% of what he's saying. I think, you know, there with Drew, I'm not quite ready to go that far with look, he made a mistake. Okay, he made a mistake, and those other guys made a mistake too. But I'm not ready to say, hey, he can't be, you know, the face of this franchise and that quarterback moving forward just because he made that mistake. Now, making that mistake certainly hurts him moving forward, and being able to evaluate him to give him that opportunity to show that he deserves to be the quarterback moving forward. But I'm not going to hold this over his head and say, he's just too immature to be the quarterback here of the future and the face of this franchise. I'm not ready to go there yet. But everything else that he said, I thought he was spot on.
Yeah, I thought there also was a lot of truth in what he said. I just think the drama meter was turned up. I thought that was a little too dramatic. And I love Dan Orlovsky. I'm a big fan of his energy and his analysis.
Else what did you think was just drummed up a little bit?
I guess it's more the tone of it, as opposed to a specific thing that he said. But if I were to choose something specific that he said is, when he's saying that, hey, you can't be the CEO of a billion-dollar franchise because, you know, you didn't wear a mask.
Yeah, and that was what I had the opportunity with.
Yeah.
That's what I had the issue with. That was it. But other than that, I thought he was spot on. You know, look, you look at these backup quarterbacks. I mean, guys, you know, like he said, sometimes your opportunity is just luck. And, you know, somebody gets hurt or something happens, and then you get an opportunity. We saw Rypien get an opportunity, and, you know, he had 3 interceptions. He played okay against the Jets or whatever, but he might not ever get another opportunity. But if he was wearing his mask and doing what he was supposed to be doing, then he would have played yesterday and got another opportunity to show the Broncos and the world and the rest of these organizations that, hey, I could be a backup quarterback. You know, if the Broncos cut you, I can be a backup quarterback. I can be a serviceable quarterback. your starter gets hurt. I could be that guy that comes in and holds down the fort for one or two games, and now he lost that opportunity. So he was spot on there. I he had some good quotes in there. Nothing's more expensive than a missed opportunity.
That
was good.
That's a good one. But that statement rings true, because this was a massive opportunity for Drew Locke to, first of all, string together two wins. Like, the Broncos hadn't beat winning teams. Wasn't the Miami Dolphins was the first time that they beat a winning team, and that was just last week. So it was an opportunity to string together these wins. So you have to seize those opportunities.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.